a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We'll call House Appropriations Committee back into order. First up will be Senate Bill 49, Revised the General Appropriations Act for Fiscal Year 2010. We've heard some testimony. Commissioner, do you have any amendments on Senate Bill 49, or is it okay the way it is?
I have no amendments.
No amendments. Thank you. And we've already heard testimony on Senate Bill 49, so we're now to the point of action and or discussion on Senate Bill 49. Okay. Amendment 49AA, and moved by Representative Dietrich, seconded by Representative Peters. If you would discuss that amendment, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
49AA would take the amount of $290,000 from the Wildlife Division of the Game, Fish, and Parks and move it over to the State General Fund. This is based upon information that I've been able to get through the LRC concerning what or isn't a diversion of license fees. And as you know, taking the fees from the license fees would certainly endanger federal funds that we receive throughout the year from the federal government. And some of what I passed out is from the Code of Federal Regulations. It talks about diversion of license fees and what can and cannot be done. And it says in there under A that revenues from license fees paid by hunters and fishermen are any revenues the state receives from the sale of licenses issued by the state, conveying to a person the privilege to pursue, etc. And then it goes on and says, for the purpose of this rule, revenue with respect to license sales by vendors is considered to be the net income. That's the net income to the state after deducting reasonable vendor fees or similar amounts retained by sales agents. That being the case, we asked the Game, Fish, and Parks what they receive from license fees, especially considering the $2 charge that they have for issuing a park entrance fee, a game fish or trapping fee, and a $4 for non-resident fee. And what they wrote back, and I sent that out to you or passed it around to the committee, is that for the year 2009, they took over $290,000, and then that being the case, we moved this in at $290,000 for the amendment on here. The other handout that I gave you was statutory authority, which statutory authority is just the authority that we put in statute to make sure that we didn't in any way have a problem with the federal government on concerning what these fees would be. That, I think, is money that would be available to us. I don't think it hurts anything. I don't think it hurts as far as the federal is concerned, and I think it's money that would be available for us to go forward with this. I wanted to bring it at this time rather than later so that just in case, well, to make sure that the Game, Fish, and Parks would walk through this very closely, and I would assure you that if they show anything to me that says this would cause a problem, I'd be the first one to jump up and want to take this particular amendment off. I don't want to take anything that we can't take or that would put anything in jeopardy, but I think this is money that's available.
Representative Berg, did you want to make comment, or I'll call other proponents of that amendment and then opponents?
Why don't you go do that first?
Okay. Any other proponents in the audience for Senate Bill 49AA, the amendment? Any proponents? Any proponents? Seeing none. Any opponents to Senate Bill 49AA, the amendment? Be sure and sign in. But no, you don't have to do it now, just before you leave. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Chris Peterson, the finance officer and director of administration for the South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. Seeing the amendment in front of you today does cause me some great concern. Representative Dietrich did explain, I think, very well the dollars or the specific dollars he was looking at in this manner. In approximately 2005-2006, the department started selling our over-the-counter licenses online. In cooperation with the Retailers Association and our 400 and some license agents that help us distribute our hunting and fishing licenses for the state of South Dakota, the department agreed to keep in balance so that we did not have a competitive advantage and compete with them, with the license agents that were selling this in, these licenses in a store, to charge the same $2 and $4 license agent fee that our commercial license agents charge when an individual purchases a license at their store. Through that agreement, then, our online sales, as you would go out and buy a hunting or fishing license, we tack on the $2 and $4 fee. Keeping in mind that the administration costs of our licensing office run well above. We have a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week call center, mailing fees, license fees, system fees, staffing fees. The cost to our department, upwards of $1 million to $1.5 million annually. Absolutely, these fees offset some of those costs, but in no way offset all of the costs associated with the facilitation of the licensing office. Whether or not the $2 and $4 fees are considered a licensing fee dollar along with the charge that you pay for the license itself today, I can't answer that question for you today, even to the point where they may not be considered. Our hunting and fishing license fees, to back up a step, are closely watched by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, because through that assent legislation that Representative Dietrich mentioned, our other fund license fee dollars have the same restrictions as the federal aid, the Dingell-Johnson-Pittman-Robertson dollars. Those dollars essentially are all treated the same with the same restrictions placed on them for hunting and fishing. If these dollars do generate 290-some, and they do, they generate along those lines every year, this amendment, taking the whole $290,000, would assume then that these dollars are, from a fund balance standpoint, are there remaining and available, that we haven't spent any of these dollars on an annual basis or within that calendar year 2009 license sale. So this amendment would take essentially every dollar generated through that process, and assuming that there was no dollars spent to help administrate those costs of the licensing office. And that would be my concern, that if no dollars, or if we did spend some of these dollars, the amount available would be something less. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service takes a hard line that the amount of dollars, if this included $1 of license fee money, that would be enough in that diversion clause to have the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service repeal all of the federal aid dollars. On an annual basis, as we've talked about here many times over, it's $10 million. In years that we're seeing currently, it would be upwards of $13 million. So without some consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and an in-depth determination of what they would view as dollars from this source still available in that fund, I would have grave concerns transferring this cash out of the game fund, which holds the license fee dollars and these dollars, into the general fund.
Any questions for Mr. Peterson? Representative Dennert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Peterson, I'm just curious. You talked about the $290,000 covering part of the administrative expense for this particular project. Did you give me a number, what you figured that did cost? And then my follow-up question would be, should you be raising the fee to cover that cost instead of using other funds to cover it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dennert, the licensing office, which is the staffing, the call center, the automated systems, the licensing office expenses on an annual basis are much over $1 million, $1 to $1.5 million. Getting more closer than that, I'm not exactly sure as I sit here today. And Representative Dennert, could you repeat the second part of your question for me?
Well, I would just, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Just curious, Mr. Peterson, if you shouldn't be raising this fee then to help cover more of that administrative office cost. And I assume that you're using other dollars to cover that some way in the process through the whole Game Fish and Parks budget.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dennert, good question. Essentially, through the operation of the department and through what I do through the finance office and also the director of the licensing office, we treat these dollars the same as the licensing fee dollars, so it becomes the whole pot of money that is available to pay 100% of the $1.5 million it costs for the licensing office, along with all of the other programs that the Division of Wildlife facilitates. So we treat these dollars as a licensing dollar, or to the same pot of money.
Representative Putnam.
Thank you. Then what I'm hearing is that you don't really have a company name. They're mingled funds. In other words, they're co-mingled funds is what we probably are talking about here. So there must be some way to identify one way or the other. But if they're not identifiable, then is there statute or is there federal policy in place that doesn't allow us to look at those funds? In the past, as you may remember, we've tried opportunities to talk to your folks about Dingell Johnson, those funds, and we then learned that there were some very strict federal guidelines with regard to that. Once they're mingled, certainly the feds can't hardly suggest that anything that's bumped over the edges is theirs also, could they?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Putnam, I believe that would be my concern here today is what that answer would be, knowing that, as I stated to Representative Dennert as well, we treat the dollars the same. We, in fact, do mingle them. So without some extensive work and a sign-off on something that we could provide to the Fish and Wildlife Service to unmingle them, if you will, and specifically outline which dollars of these dollars would be left over compared to other dollars, that would be my concern. And I would say to you, as I sit here today, that would become my challenge because we spend these dollars as license fee dollars under the same accounting codes, the same company, as you referred to Representative Putnam.
Representative Wismer and then Representative Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. We're talking about the Wildlife Department, right? I mean, Wildlife Division. And are there any general funds used in the Wildlife Division's budget?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wisner, no. The Division of Wildlife is 100% funded with licensing fee dollars, federal aid dollars, the Dingell Johnson, the Pittman Robertson dollars that are the taxes paid and distributed on a state-by-state basis on hunting and fishing equipment, as well as some other miscellaneous sources, such as what we're talking about here today, the fees on top of license fee sales.
Go ahead.
So then the rest of this discussion is that you're trying to find a way to carve out a couple of the dollars charged the hunters and call them something else besides a license fee? Hunting license fee?
I think got the question directed to you, Representative Dietrich, a sponsor of the amendment.
Yes, there are absolutely dollars that aren't part of the license fee, that they're the fee that's paid to the vendor for selling the fee. In this case, the vendor is the state of South Dakota. As was explained, this is the same vendor fee that would be paid to any licensing agent if you walked into their store for it.
One more follow-up, if you want to.
But his point is that...
Go ahead.
But he's afraid you couldn't... he can't get a clear definition of... can't get it carved off and separated. Is that the issue?
That's his definition. We'll get back to you for a follow-up later. Representative Carson, I forgot him. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got a couple of small questions.
Okay, make sure they're small.
Sir, when did you start collecting the $2 and $4 fee? About what year?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carson, give or take a year, it would be calendar year 2005, 2006 that our automated systems went into place, and through that negotiations with the Retailers Association, we started charging that fee.
Sir, prior to that, how were these people paid when the licenses were sent on out by email or by packaging?
Representative Carson, the license agents have always charged that fee at their store. The fee, the $2, what the fee becomes is $2 for the sale of a resident license, $4 for a non-resident license. The commercial license agents have always been able to charge those fees. What the department doing then is when we started the automated system, which enabled us to sell basically the system online, we went away from a paper system to a paperless system where an individual could buy the license, print it off on their home computer, and put that in their wallet to hunt or fish with. So then that's when the department essentially got into much more substantial amounts of license sales.
I understand that there was a lap over a period of time when you had the internet system and you didn't charge the fee. When I as a hunter could go to the internet, I'm from Pocatello, Idaho, I could go to the internet, print out my license, print it off, and then I was not charged a fee. It was a $100 fee. But prior to that, you had some expense. How was it being covered at that time?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carson, as the additional dollars, as we stated, the $1.5 million, if this is helping, you know, pay the first $300,000 of that, the $1.2 million of additional costs is paid through those license fee dollars, the actual dollars of the license fee, whereas in years before we were generating the fees, it was 100% license fee dollars, the actual license dollar itself. This process, then, what we use these dollars for is to offset some of those costs, and what has basically enabled the department and the Game Fish and Parks Commission to not raise fees as often.
Thank you.
Representative Peters and Representative Dennert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could get a clarification on some of the previous questions on these funds. You're telling me we don't have an accounting system that can track these funds and we're commingling them and can't figure it out?
Representative Peters, we would have the ability to go through and associate how many dollars of revenue this generated from the beginning. That would give us a picture of the revenues. The challenging part then would be, as I spend my dollars for my licensing office, I charge those dollars to other funds, the game fund, license fee dollars, but I don't go to that detail and say that this month when I paid my utility bill, it was 50% real license dollar and 25% $2 fee dollar. We do not distinguish those expenses because we treat the money the same. So as I pay my salaries and operating expenses on an annual basis, the expenses aren't broken up to see if we used the dollars in front of you today or a regular license fee dollar.
Representative Dennard?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Peterson, as I remember that, I think you was not charging the $2 and the $4 fee, and the retail industry came in, and they were complaining about you selling a license $2 and $4 cheaper than they were, and this just neutralized the figure. Is that a fair statement? So that if I buy the license online or go to the little retail store, I pay the same for it in all cases. Wasn't that the agreement? And then I have another question.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dennard, the only specific component I can't recall in that piece, it was before my time with the department, but you have the agreement essentially right. If there was a short amount of time when the system went live without the $2 and $4 fee, it was essentially a matter of months before we came to the legislative session and worked with the Retailers Association to set that fee. So there may have been a few months before the fee was charged. If not, then the agreement of the $2 and $4 fee happened in conjunction with going live with the system.
Follow-up?
Yes, not a follow-up on that, just another question, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Mr. Peterson, would you possibly expect any backlash from the sportsmen in South Dakota that if $290,000 was taken from your fund that they had for license cost and help fund the general fund, $290,000. Would you expect somewhat of a backlash from the sportsman clubs across South Dakota?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dennard, very good question. I think it goes back to my response a little bit to maybe expand on what Representative Peters had asked as well, that knowing that as the license holders purchase those fees, there's an expectation that these dollars are being used to go back into those hunting and fishing and wildlife programs, that essentially is the reason we treat these dollars the same as a license fee. Changing the game, as you will, that each hunter and fisherman would now buy a license fee and pay a fee in addition to that, which used to help offset some of the costs and keep the fees lower, I would expect some backlash that they would notice that their dollars are now being used to fund something other than what the dollars were originally being used for.
Representative Putnam.
Thank you. In hearing some of the previous testimony, I'm starting to remember, just like Representative Dennard does, the fact did remain that once the Internet or once the ability to buy on the Internet came about, vendors in our local community started to see a decrease in, of course, their sales, which was a decrease in their own revenue to run the program. And this option, evidently, we figured it all out, and this is what we have in place now. The question of Representative Carson hasn't really been answered yet, because he says in that interim, how did you make it fly then if indeed there wasn't any funds available to do that? His question is trying to sort out, you must have another fund or something out there that maintained and to do this, because this wasn't put in effect until after the fact. And I think his question was more to the fact, what did you do then in that interim? Where did those dollars come from? And why would sportsmen be for or against that, if that's indeed the case?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Putnam, let me be clear about the other dollars that are used to support the licensing office. It is the initial license fee cost dollars are completely eligible to support the licensing office. Before the $2 and $4 fee, even through our old paper system from, you know, for the previous number of decades, license fee dollars, the amount of dollars paid to the system or pay for licenses, was able to offset the cost of the licensing office. In theory, then, through these negotiations, the additional revenue generated by the $2 and $4 became a little bit of a revenue enhancement, hence has just delayed any additional license fee increases the department would have to bring in, and basically has postponed or delayed those. Pulling these dollars back out would then essentially generate a speed up the need for additional fee increases.
Mr. Peterson, if you receive dollars in excess, where can those dollars be spent in that fund?
Mr. Chairman, can you maybe...
Okay, give you some options. Could you spend some of the dollars for acres enhancement, for wildlife, habitat, fishing, boat ramps? I mean, do you have that authority to use those dollars there for the good and the benefit of the wildlife and fish of South Dakota?
Mr. Chairman, yes, these dollars, the license fee dollars, basically, as some of the, I believe the legislation that, or the statutes that were read as we started our discussion today, dictated that basically for the fish and wildlife management in the state of South Dakota, that's what those dollars, you know, are restricted to.
Thank you. Any other questions of Mr. Peterson? If not, Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. If you generate a profit in your store from selling the things that you sell online in your store, where do those dollars go to, sir?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carson, tough question from this standpoint, that the dollars we generate through this administrative cost fee being $290,000, the cost for running the office is $1.5 million. Now, the dollars generated through license sales on an annual basis is upwards of $30 million. The licensing office to facilitate that process only costs $1.5 million, so essentially the other $28.5 million are used with our federal aid dollars to facilitate the entire fish and wildlife management activities of the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks.
Any other questions of Mr. Peterson? Seeing none. Other opponents to the amendment to Senate Bill 49? Any other opponents to Senate Bill 49? Seeing none, do you have any rebuttal comments? Short.
Yes, as I said, I wanted to bring this today because I want to give them as much time as possible to check out all the numbers on there before it would be finalized on here. But the numbers that are given are the numbers that they gave to us in the email as to what these were the administrative fees on here. So they are able to track it and sort it out. Thank you.
Well,
can I ask a question as a sponsor?
Yes, you may ask a question.
Representative Diedrich, if indeed this was approved and put onto Senate Bill 49, do you see some mechanical or items that might have to happen to the bill to make an outcome more probable? I mean, for example, does this change the bill in its movement through the legislature? Are we going to have a situation in which we might run into some situations that are unexplainable?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if there's anything that's unexplainable, but obviously this bill goes like any other bill. It would come out of committee. It goes down to the floor. Since there's an amendment, it would have to go back over to the Senate. They could either concur with the amendment or they could ask for a conference committee of some sort. This is not a bill that's going to die.
You mean the amendment? Is that what you meant? Or the bill?
No, the bill. This bill will not die. The amendment may die, but the bill won't die.
Thank you.
Well, before I call for the vote on the amendment, I would urge the committee to resist the amendment for two reasons. I'd just soon keep Senate Bill 49 clean so it's not entangled. I think we had a great discussion here, but I don't think it may have been the appropriate place for the discussion. I applaud Representative Diedrich for finding and trying to find general fund dollars. I also feel that we are in a very tenuous situation with our wildlife and dollars going in because the federal government has stepped back on an investment. And if our Wildlife, Game, Fish, and Parks Department has the flexibility to put some things out there to ensure that we have that natural resource there, that's the only reason I would ask to resist the amendment. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
No. Failed. Representative Putnam.
I move to pass on Senate Bill 49.
Move to pass on Senate Bill 49. Is there a second? Second by Representative Peters. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. And Secretary will call the roll.
Berg.
Aye.
Tenner.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Diedrich.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Wink. Putnam.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
Senate Bill 49 will do pass and go to the floor.
Chairman.
You call it up.
I certainly will.
I am giving the gavel to my vice.
Thank you. I need, Senate Bill 177 is up for hearing now. I recognize Representative Tiedemann.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I move to table Senate Bill 177.
Second.
Motion by Representative Tiedemann to table Senate Bill 177, second by Representative Diedrich. That's a non-debatable motion. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no, and the Secretary call the roll.
Berg.
Aye.
Dennert.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Diedrich.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
Senate Bill 177 has been tabled, and I'll pass the gavel back to His Highness.
Thank you, Mr. Vice. Since it was my name as the prime sponsor, I figured I needed to table that sucker and watch the grins from behind.
We would have done it for you.
Thank you very much. Senate Bill 106. We've had testimony on it and closed testimony. Any discussion on Senate Bill 106 to authorize the Board of Regents and the Building Authority to contract for construction of classroom facilities at the University Center in Sioux Falls? And to replace facilities leased from the Sioux Falls School District and to make an appropriation therefore. Any discussions or further questions on Senate Bill 106? Yes, the bill has been amended. It's got the penthouse out, and it also has the maintenance and repairs that they have to present a plan. Yeah, I apologize. It should have been Senate Bill 106 as amended. Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that Senate Bill number 106 as amended do pass.
Second by Representative Peters. Any discussion on that amendment or that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As before, we had discussed this and we had sorted out how much of the dollars are going to facility, how much of the dollars are going to go to support. These are indeed for classroom facilities and to replace certain facilities. The interesting part that I felt was the 20-year lease that can be extended another 20. The payments are going to be adjusted to make this payment, and therefore I would hope that we can support the bill. Thank you.
Any other discussion on Senate Bill 106 as amended? Representative Dennert.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask you to support Senate Bill 106. I've been around here just about as long as Representative Putnam, and I can remember when our University Center in Sioux Falls started and the conditions that they were in. And early on, I made a suggestion to utilize some facilities at Southeast Votech. And when I first mentioned it, they said that can't be done. And as we know, they went forward. But I think as we move forward with the University Center in Sioux Falls, I think it's time. And as the testimony was given, and I apologize, I missed some of it, but I think this is just a continuation of this facility in Sioux Falls for the non-trad students. And as long as the campus, or I shouldn't call it a campus, the center area has started in Sioux Falls, I think it's just a movement forward of the university system and the non-trad students in Sioux Falls. With that, I would ask your support. Thank you.
Representative Peters.
I would also ask for your support on this particular bill. Not that it affects my district or anything, but this is doing something like this is consistent with what we've done in Rapid as far as the buildings and keeping the students in one place, and it serves a need for the growth of the students and the type of students that this particular campus is going to do and host. And with that, I just really appreciate your support on this particular bill.
Any other comments? Representative Berg.
Thank you. Mr. Chair,
I'm going to support this, but this isn't consistent with what they've done for Heron. But anyway, I'll support it anyway.
Any other discussion? Well, of course, I'm going to have to say yes, Representative Wink.
Just a comment. I guess in a perfect world, I guess I would prefer to have the school, Sioux Falls School District, paying more for this building. They basically are paying 1.4 if they had to replace it. 50,000 square feet, they'd be looking at 5 or 6 million. And also, I would like to see the utilization at a higher rate, at 60-some percent, why there's still going to be room for growth. But I think timing is sometimes more important. And I think at this point, the timing of building another facility on the campus probably trumps where we are now. And I think non-traditional students are probably going to be more and more important down the road. So I'm going to support this on that basis. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to recess over to the floor to vote and come back.